Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. economy grew at a slower pace than previously estimated in the first quarter. The nation's gross domestic product, the broadest measure of all goods and services produced in the economy, grew at an annual 1.8% annual rate between January and March. The first quarter's revision was due largely to personal consumption expenditures that notched lower to a 2.6% gain from 3.4%. Monsanto says its fiscal third quarter net income slipped 3% as hits to the agricultural product company's cotton and soybean seed segments restricted revenue growth. The St. Louis company says it earned $909 million, or $1.68 per share, in the quarter that ended on May 31st. That compares with $937 million, or $1.74 per share, last year. Revenue inched up less than 1% to $4.25 billion. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 14,876, is up 116 points. The NASDAQ, 3374, up 26. And the S&P 500, at 1601, is up 13 and one-third points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. Got some thunderstorms rumbling across the heart of the Midwest this morning, and they're likely to continue as we go through the afternoon, working their way eastward. The significance of these storms in the last several hours has been kind of impressive. Up around the Chicago area and into the southeastern portions of Wisconsin, we have seen some significant rainfall across a part of that region. The same is true for some of the interior northwest portions of Illinois, even some of the far south part of the state have seen some impressive thunderstorm activity here in the last couple of hours. But some of the rain totals overnight were impressive in a couple of counties in parts of eastern Iowa where we got over 6 inches of rain to occur. There were other areas in these same regions I've just described where there's been some 1 to 3 inch amounts of rain. A lot of other areas, though, haven't seen nearly that much precipitation. The concern now in the forecast over this next full week to maybe 10 days is going to be a higher frequency of rainfall across the region. And as long as that continues to be the case, we're going to have to worry about the condition of our soft wheat crop as it waits to be harvested. Too much precipitation across the region could very well reduce the quality of that crop and increase the wet weather diseases that have been occurring across some of the area. We are expecting rain to occur on a near-daily basis over this next full week as an upper-level low-pressure system settles into the heart of the Midwest. Now, most of the precipitation will come in starting on Friday. We will see a short-term break in the precipitation here after today's rains move off to the east, so tomorrow should be a relatively quiet day. But we will expect to still see more shower and thunderstorm activity developing over the weekend and continuing next week. The odds are good that the rain will occur often enough that will be restricted in the fields, not only for the harvest of the soft wheat crop, but also for spraying activities and other routine farming events that usually occur at this time of the year. The upper-level trough of low pressure is also going to lower our temperatures across the region. We've been sufficiently warm here recently that crops have really been stimulated into some aggressive development. With temperatures yet this afternoon, again tomorrow afternoon, and maybe on Friday, still running in the 80s and perhaps some lower 90s in the southwestern portions of the production region. But in contrast to that, as we move forward into the heart of the weekend and into the middle part of next week, we're likely to see highs cooling down to the 70s and lower 80s across the region. Mostly middle and upper 70s will be common across the region. And lows at night will fall back into the 50s and lower 60s. Now, the best news there is the low temperatures staying below 70 degrees. we've had more than a week's worth of temperatures where those lows at night have been held up above 70, and that's been a little stressful for some of the crops. So a little bit of rest coming with the cooler weather expected this weekend and next week. Now, we are going to have to look for some drier weather across the region. We don't want it to rain and be cool all the way through the summer. That would be a real problem for us for getting the crop mature in time, especially after the delay in planting this spring. So hopefully we'll see some warm-up take place as we move into the second weekend of the two-week outlook. That would be the weekend of the 5th through the 7th, and that's a long ways out in time. We're going to have a lot of precipitation between now and then. In other areas across the U.S., we are going to see an increase in shower activity in the Delta, the southeastern states, also the central and southern plains all over this same coming week. And the situation in all of these areas will be beneficial in the long run. In fact, for even our corn and soybean crop development potential here over the next week to 10 days is going to still be very good, even though we are going to be a little wet and cool. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading in Kansas City. July wheat at 704 is down a quarter. July wheat in Chicago, 680 and a quarter, up 4 1/4, now 4 1/2. July corn, 665, now 64 1/2, up 7 3/4. December at 546 3/4, up 2 1/4. July soybeans, 1527 1/2, up 2 1/2, now 2 1/4, now 2 1/2. November at 1276 1/4, down 2 1/4. July soybean meal, 458.60, down 20. July soybean oil, 47.12, down 2. June live cattle, 120.87 1/2, down 27 1/2. August feeders, 147.90, up 2 1/2. And July lean hogs, $100, and they are down 15. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Looks like the trade is just marking time more than anything else at midweek.
Most assuredly, and we're trying to think of something a little bit different to talk about this morning because obviously the quarterly grain stocks and the prospective plantings on Friday is the trump card short term. But looking ahead, you also have to realize that Friday is the first notice day for July futures. There are not many registrations in anything except for maybe some soybean oil, so the trade may be looking at some deliveries in soybean oil. But what they're looking at right now and talking about the quarterly grain stocks and the delivery process is if the stocks are below expectations, the trade expectations, then they think there might be a little bit of a squeeze play in the July futures for meal, soybeans, and corn. Again, if they come in line with the trade expectations, it'll probably be a little ho-hum, and we'll look forward to looking at the weather and the crop conditions next week.
How come the trade has missed the quarterly grain stocks estimates by so much on, it seems like, the last several reports?
I think you hit it dead on. I think the trade expectations have made assumptions over the past, and we talk to the guys in Chicago on a pretty regular basis, and the trade typically or historically makes certain assumptions. The crop will get planted, the yield will be there, everything will kind of work out. And from the countryside, when we see the physical logistics of the crop going from, let's say, the farm to the processor or farm to the elevator to the processor, sometimes we see these little hot spots of inactivity or where the inventory is not where it's supposed to be at the right time. And that gives us a heightened sense of urgency that I don't think Chicago feels. So they tend to pad the numbers a little bit more than we do.
There also continues to be this whole mess about old crop, new crop, and the September numbers, and that creates uncertainty reflected throughout the year.
It very well could, but we think this is going to be one of those years that the proof is in the pudding, mm-hmm. because the way this crop is developing, as late as it is, and kind of like Drew said in his weather report, we're going to need some growing degree days to speed this thing up. If not, it's going to be a slow progressing crop. If that's the case, there is not going to be commingling
that's
of old
right.
crop and new crop. So September is going to be very, very critical.
But we're looking at carry-in for this report for the new year, and carry-in will be just as a very important number given the size of the crop expected and also the demand base that USDA has built into the new crop numbers.
Yeah, and we kind of touched on it on Monday. I think the USDA in doubling their export expectations, a lot of people look at that number and think that that's a big or an inflated number, but historically we are at record low exports from this country. I mean, 750 million bushels or way less than a billion is historically really small. The countries that need inventory that have basically tapped their reserves to this point to keep prices in their country low, they're going to want to rebuild those inventories, and I think that export figure could be a little low at this early date.
Seems like Brazil, though, is increasing its corn crop. Ukraine is increasing its corn crop. Looks like the world is trying to fill that U.S. vacuum to some degree.
You're exactly right. I just saw another export off the Black Sea, the corn market over there, and they're trading basically 25 cents a bushel cheaper than we are for September or August-September delivery. I think there's a lot of countries that are trying to enter into that market and capture market share.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace. July wheat in Chicago, 680 and a quarter, up 4.5. July corn, 664 and a half, up 7.75. December, 547.75, up 3.25. July soybeans, 1528 and a half, up 3.25. November, 1276.75, now 77, down 1.5. July wheat in Kansas City, 705, up 3/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.